Travis Ryer, it is game week. Do you have your game face on?
As much as possible at this point. You know, I try to sort of pace myself, Ryan, especially early in the season. Got a long, long season in front of us, so you got to be careful not to overdo it too early.
Well, but it's just that week. I mean, we could slow down against Florida Atlantic or Southern Miss or possibly even West Virginia.
Yeah.
But let's talk about this depth chart that Nick Saban released. Got a couple of freshmen there. Cam Robinson starting at the left tackle position. But what jumps out to you about this depth chart? I mean, it's pretty predictable, but we've got some and/ors on this depth chart as well.
Yeah.
What jumps out to you?
You know, I think maybe on the defensive side, looking at that a little bit, and you're right, some of the flashes we have and the ors, it tells you that it's not just quarterback where competition is ongoing. I mean, it's, you know, he talked about Cameron Robinson as the starter at left tackle, but then he was quick to interject Dominic Jackson into that mix, you know, as a guy that's playing there and has a chance still. So, you know, I thought it was very interesting in terms of, you know, how they kind of formulated it and still left room for continuing competition, not only at quarterback, but across the board.
Travis, as we get to this conversation and we start breaking down that offensive line, are you comfortable with the five guys that we've got listed at the first string? I mean, do you think this unit, maybe not in week number one, maybe not in week number three, but this could be a solid unit when you get to Florida, when you get to Ole Miss, and deeper in the schedule against LSU?
Yeah, I think that's – if you're of the belief that this is a national championship contender, this team, then I think that has to be the mindset that you're taking, that it will be a work in progress during the first month or so of the season. And if you get through Ole Miss without a loss, then you have a real chance to pick up steam through October and then into that stretch run of November. So, if you really think this is a national championship-type team, that has to be the way you're looking at it. Because going into the season, to be honest with you, I see a 10-win-type team. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that. But there are question marks and still ongoing competition at enough critical spots where, you know, they're going to have to firm some things up. And I think they can. I just don't, you know, it's just not the ready-made roster, Ryan, like we've seen the last two or three years.
Well, it's been a little time talking about the quarterback position. Jacob Coker, Blake Sims. I think we all expected Jacob Coker to do more than what he's done. And then you have to go back and give him a little bit of a mulligan. He's only been here so many weeks, and everybody wants to talk about, well, he did it with AJ, he did it with Greg McElroy, a newcomer, but those guys were already on staff. They understood what Nick Saban was looking for, and looks like so far Jacob Coker not really processing everything that Nick Saban wants from his starting quarterback. Break down Blake Sims and Jacob Coker, each one of them. What do they give your offense as far as a different style of quarterback, or do you think they're very similar?
You know, I think they're going to be closer in terms of what they bring to the table than what most people think. I think the perception is that Sims is going to be a glorified wildcat, and I do think they're going to move him around, but I think they're going to move Jacob Coker around too. I don't think at this point, to be honest with you, Saban talks a lot about confidence at the quarterback position. Well, as an offensive staff, I don't know how confident they are in either of these guys to stand in the pocket and try to make throws all over the field and to process information and make the right reads and do everything that comes with that. So I think for both these guys, you're going to see an offense that, you know, there'll be pocket throws, don't get me wrong, but off of that running game, you're going to see some bootleg action, some moving these guys around, getting them on the corner a little bit, giving them one, maybe two reads in the half field look. To make decisions and make throws. They're both very good athletes, so I don't think it's out of either of their skill sets to be able to do that. I think it actually benefits, plays to them.
And you're absolutely correct. When you look at the guys that are going to try to move that pocket, when you've got an offensive line that you've got some question marks there, don't be a sitting duck in a pocket. Move that.
Especially with the left tackle. You know what I mean? That's a left tackle's best friend. That's a true freshman, I would think.
So let's move to running back just for a couple of minutes. T.J. Yeldon, Derrick Henry, Kenyon Drake, 1-2-3, Tyron Jones, Alti Tenpenny listed at number 4 and or in that final thing. But T.J. Yeldon, Derrick Henry, Kenyon Drake, what is the rushing number that you think that it would be possible for these three young men to obtain in 2014?
You know, if you're talking about total yards for a season, gosh, I think that, you know, kind of the number that you look at with a 13-game regular season is, 2,500 yards? You know, that'd be almost 200 yards a game if you could do that. That's been about what they've been around or even more. So, yeah, I got to think they get to that number. How it breaks down, obviously, is what you're alluding to. And, you know, I still think T.J. Yeldon's a 1,000-yard guy. I don't know if he's a 12 or 1,300-yard guy simply because of the two other backs that he's going to be working with. And, you know, I don't know if it's so much about quantity in terms of breaking it down as it will be quality. I think when you look at Kenyon Drake, I wouldn't put a number on his carries. I would talk more about touches because I do think they're going to have more of a specific plan for Kenyon Drake this year than they've had in previous years. Obviously, he'll still do everything that they do within the offense, but I think when he's in the game, you might see a different look from this offense, and it might be more of a concerted effort to take advantage of his strengths, which obviously are his speed and quickness, and maybe spreading the field a little more with him in there, throwing it to him, some special-type things, I would say, for Kenyon Drake. So, you know, I think they get to their numbers. You know, I don't see it being 15 carries for each back, though. I don't think it'll work out that way.
You look at just throwing the football to the backs, whether we're talking about the tailback or the fullback in Jalston Fowler, that seems to be something that we've noticed throughout fall camp, even in spring practice as well. They're going to utilize the back out of the backfield as a receiver. They're going to get him out in some open field and let them do some special things with the football, whether it's Drake or Fowler or Yeldon or Henry outside.
And why not? Again, you go back to an inexperienced quarterback. You know, keep it as simple as you possibly can, and you've got outstanding athletes that are just a check down away. You look to that first receiver, if they've got him covered up, check it down. And then, of course, the design things you could do. I think we're going to see a better screen package than we saw a year ago, which really wasn't very good at all. I think that'll be improved, and that's certainly a great way to get a guy like Kenyon Drake involved. And you know what? T.J. Yeldon's undervalued as a pass catcher, too. This is a guy that can really catch the football. So I don't think it's going to be just limited to Drake. I think, as you kind of pointed out, that they've worked all the backs a lot during the preseason.
It also seems like the wide receivers are going to catch a lot of short passes from what we've been able to witness in practice. A lot of the dip and dunks, the wide receiver screens, over the middle, short passes, which you get into some high percentage, and then you give your quarterback a little bit of confidence as you want to stretch the field a little bit.
Yeah, but I think at some point, though, and I agree with you, at least initially, defenses are going to come up and challenge Amari Cooper, believe it or not, and those other receivers more than you would have with A.J. McCarron, because they're going to sort of bank on Blake Sims and or Jacob Coker not being able to fit the ball in there. And so they're going to have to take some shots. And even if they don't hit on them, they're going to have to do it to back people up. Because if you think opposing defenses loaded up on the run when A.J. McCarron was behind center, you know, what do you think it's going to look like Saturday?
Travis, if this team has trouble and it's not the quarterback play, where's it going to be at? Where are they going to have issues? You go back to the offensive line. Is that where you go back to?
That would be my first place and there where I would go. And not that I think they'll have trouble, but, you know, I don't think they can afford to be even average this year, even by Alabama standards, which is good by even very good by a lot of team standards. They need to be Alabama good up front this year. And it's an area where you listen to Saban today and you don't walk away feeling like they're totally sold on their first five. And that's partly due to maybe some injuries they had in the preseason. But, again, we go back to work in progress. And, and positions that might look vastly different by the time Florida rolls into Tuscaloosa compared to this week. And I think that's another spot where another – position or two, you know, could be a little bit different in a month.
Travis, West Virginia, 26 points. Now, we know that Las Vegas builds those real nice buildings and free, you know, feeds, free buffets, everything. Right, yeah, because they win money, right? If you look at it on paper, to me that looks like it's free money. You take West Virginia and the points.
Yeah, that's what it looks like to me too, Ryan.
I mean, that's what it looks like to me. but you know that they build those buildings not by losing money,
but
by winning money.
You remember what we used to say, you know, like, what was it, 04 or so, 03, when we were doing this show and we talk about, you know, it says Alabama on the bus, but it's not Alabama in it. Well, you know, it's kind of that way with West Virginia right now, and I mean that with all due respect, because there have been years where you wouldn't have wanted to play West Virginia in this situation if you were Alabama. Well, right now, until we see something different from what we saw last year, this isn't Pat White and Steve Slayton, West Virginia. You know, this is very much rebuilding West Virginia. But I do agree with you. It still looks like pretty easy money.
Yeah, and so everybody, make sure you're cautious as you go out there and call the man. Leave it alone, because it just looks too tempting to grab West Virginia and some points, and then you watch Alabama show up and. With a limited offense. Maybe Vegas knows more than we do, even though we're practice every day. Maybe Vegas has got a little bit of inside track on.
Well, and the thing is, it's one of those games where either way late, you could get killed or win. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I mean, it's just one of those. It's just one of those games that just smells like a backdoor cover either way. And you know, some people love the thrill of that. I'm 45 years old now. I'm about 20 years removed from that, so I can't advise it at this point.
Yeah, well, I mean, look at the 55 and a half. I mean, that one even sounds odd, because you don't think Alabama is going to help you get to 55 and a half with points scored, and then you look at the talent on the defensive side of the ball. How's West Virginia going to meet you halfway on that?
Yeah, but then Alabama does something like last year and gets a couple touchdowns out of kicking game, or you know what I mean?
Sure.
I mean, it's just. It's nightmare scenarios that, as a recovering gambler, you know, keep me on the straight and narrow. Legally, of course.